I learned the demonic kingdom. I learned the methods. I learned the strategies. I learned the entrapment of the demonic kingdom because I was equipped to put this on people's lives, Christians and non-Christians alike.
Brother, I got to ask you, first and foremost, what is the devil's playbook?
The devil's playbook is the methods of the enemy, the methods of the demonic kingdom, the footsteps of the demonic kingdom, the arsenals of the demonic kingdom, the attack, the schemes, the wiles, the setup, the delays of the demonic kingdom. Christians don't see it. Christians don't understand it. Christians don't know how to... Christians haven't been fully discipled in spiritual warfare. Mm. And this book has the ingredients to get you there.
So... this spiritual warfare, I mean, we totally believe that spiritual warfare is a very real thing and that we are engaged in spiritual warfare, whether we want to be or not. And we need to be battling that with the right tools, with the right weapons, so that we know that the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but they are spiritual. So help us understand, how did you come to understand about the spiritual warfare and these weapons that we need to be wielding?
Well, my life was, as you know, 25 years serving the devil faithfully. I'm like the opposite of the Apostle Paul. Paul said he served the Lord flawlessly. He served the Lord 100%. He served the Lord, and he prosecuted Christians. I served the devil faithfully. There was no wrinkle. There was no mistakes me serving the devil the way I did. I did it wholeheartedly to serve the devil. I learned the demonic kingdom. I learned the methods. I learned the strategies. I learned the entrapment of the demonic kingdom because I was equipped to put this on people's lives, Christians and non-Christians alike.
So you weren't just somebody dabbling with the occult or witchcraft. You were deep and heavy.
I was the occult.
Yeah.
I was the occult. I wasn't, it's like today we have, like say today, right? We have the One World Order, right? We have Illuminati's, right? People say you got Jay-Z and you got Beyonce, and I'm just gonna call it the way it is, right? You got like Mark Anthony, Jennifer Lopez, P. Diddy, oh, we Illuminati's. No, you're not. You dabbling. Hmm. You puppets on a stage that you can't see. The Illuminati's are the Rothschilds. The Illuminati's are the Rockefellers. You'll never reach that kind of money. You'll never reach that kind of status. They're using you for their doing. They're using you to bring the demonic to the forefront. But you're a pawn in a chess game. You're not the king. You're not the queen. You're not the bishop. You're just a pawn. Yes, they let you say what you want to say to a certain extent. Yes, they let you talk the way you want to talk. Yes, they let you know. They let you advertise their logo. But you don't own the logo. They own the logo. And this is in the demonic kingdom. I didn't dabble. I was in that kingdom that I owned part of the logo.
Wow.
Of what the demonic kingdom was about. So today I'm able to come and train my brothers and sisters and equip my brothers and sisters, not out of something of a fairy tale or something out of, I think this is the way it works. No, I know the way it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you just mentioned some celebrities there that, if you see their concerts or their halftime shows, there's a lot of demonic imagery that happens in those concerts. And it's always interesting to see people kind of write that off as, oh, that's just pretend, or that's just play, or that's just them being artistic and edgy. But I know you say that there is doorways and things that we open up, whether we realize it or not. Let's talk about some of those things that actually give the devil access, and specifically about halftime
Christians
shows.
To Christians, or are you talking about non-believers?
Either or.
Non-believers are a bunch of idiots. I mean, bottom line, a bunch of idiots. You playing into a stage that the script is not yours. You're part of this. You're an actor on a stage that doesn't belong to you. You know, and Jesus, us Christians, we are part of a kingdom, right? We hold shares, part of a kingdom, that we're doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's us. We are going somewhere. We have a future where we're going. Eternity, heaven, paradise, a place that people don't cry. We don't say goodbye. People don't get sick. People don't die. We're going somewhere awesome. These people that they bought at a cheap price, right? Because you can't sell your soul to the devil, by the way. You could sell your allegiance, your time, and your devotion. That's what you sell. You can't sell the deed of your soul, because the deed of your soul, Jesus owns it. Mm. He owns your car. You see, so you can't sell that. But these Illuminatis and these Freemasons and these occult practices, whatever practices they are, like the one I was in, they give you the illusion that you can sell something that doesn't belong to you. And then they make you part of something that you feel that you belong to, but it is a fantasy. It is of the reality of it is a false reality. Let's put it this way. So when they put you on stage on the Grammys or halftime football game, you're just an idiot up there doing someone else's dirty work, you know. And I say the truth, because bottom line, I was an idiot for 25 years of my life. I was doing the devil's work and trying to make him happy and trying to please him and trying to fulfill something that had a dead end to it. So today, Christians, we open doors in our lives because we enter eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate, wind, mind, heart. You know, these are portals and gateways that the devil understand that if I can get in one of those doors, I have access of your life. And this is the so key about the devil's playbook. It is teaching you, equipping you, is discipling you to be the vessel of honor that the Lord Jesus Christ could. Yes, it's fine. You're going to have dents on your armor. It's like I went to Times Square Church, and I just said this one thing. I haven't been in 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. I watched it online, and I went yesterday. And the first thing they were talking about, spiritual warfare, you know. And he made a great analogy about football. And he said he pre-taped the games because he's preaching, he's out and about. But he know his team won. Yes, they take dents. Yes, they take hits. Yes, they fumble the ball. Yes, they throw the ball. But in the end of the game, they win. You see? So Christians, yes, your arm is going to take some dent. It's going to take some hit, but you're going to win. But you keep the doors closed.
Mm. So, John, let's talk about the way that some of these doorways get opened. You said about the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate, the mind. There's a lot of different gates that we as Christians unintentionally allow to be opened. And this time of year, we're in October as we're recording this. And so Halloween is a big thing. So there's all kinds of imagery all over the place.
But I don't even phase on Halloween. I already know it's evil. Halloween is like the big attack, right?
Yeah.
People say, like we got churches today, right? They like Dumb and Dumber, right? They celebrate Halloween, but they put a different name on it. And they put Trunk or Treat. They'll put a name like Harvest Fest. What Harvest Fest are we talking about? Because the Bible, I don't see that in the Bible. I'm talking about that the harvest is plenty. The harvest is ready. Souls, you know, but the workers are few. I see that. But harvest, candy, and costumes, and dress up, I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see. So here, we opening doors right there, right? We practicing things that are unbiblical. Right. And then we want to dress it up. Right. To make it seem innocent and make it seem godly, form of godliness. But you're denying that the power that Jesus Christ doesn't agree with those practices. Mm-hmm. It's like me taking the devil. I used to see the devil in person. Right. He'll come in different ways. Right. In different facets, different forms, different attitudes. So he'll come in different characteristics when I used to meet him when I was in B.C. before Christ. But he's still the same devil. I mean, I can dress up in green. I look like a leprechaun today, right? But then I can wear blue and look like a Smurf, but I'm still John.
Mm-hmm.
And people tend to not see that. And we open doors, and generational curses are increased, and sickness are increased in our family, and our bloodline curses, spiritual, demonic curses are there. Devil said, well, now he tells heaven, I got rights.
Mm.
You can't stop me. They open the door. And the Bible says, if you don't come to repentance and renunciation, those rights are still going to be there. And that's when Christians suffer the consequences of their spiritual actions. And then later on, they want to blame the church. They want to blame the pastor. They want to blame God. But they don't point the finger to themselves. How did I get here?
Yeah. So how do people get there? What are some of these ways that people open up these doors that you mentioned in the book?
One thing right here. This is the blueprint of how the methods of the devil. Exposing the devil. This is what Christians say. I'm being attacked by Jezebel. I'm being attacked by a python spirit. It's too late. The footsteps on the hallway. You missed the footsteps on the hallway. You missed the spiritual footstep of that devil that was walking down the hallway before the door was open into your season, your life, your purpose, and your destiny. If I'm being attacked by some demonic force, I missed the footsteps. I missed the way it operates. When in my life, as myself, when things, spiritual things start, I feel the atmosphere change. I feel things are not right. I feel a check in my spirit. Before the attack comes, before the storm shows up, before the hurricane shows up in Florida or North Carolina, which we pray for those wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
Before it show up, you feel the winds, the waves are starting to change. Those are the footsteps before the hurricane shows up. So in the spirit realm, Christians don't see it because they're not trained. They're not equipped. They have discernment. You can have discernment, but you don't, if you don't know the footsteps, if you don't know the methods of the enemy, your discernment ain't going to do nothing for you. Understand? David was a king. David was a warrior. Before he was a king, David was a killer. David was poetic. He can play music. I mean, David was a renaissance. But his biggest enemy was standing on his right side, on his blind spot, Saul. He didn't see it. You see? So what's standing on your blind spot? What footsteps? And exposing the devil's playbook is going to teach you the method, the footsteps of the enemy before he shows up at your door, before he shows up in your marriage, before he shows up in your house, church, ministry, purpose, destiny. You see the footsteps. If you can see the footsteps, you could be on the offense before you could be on the offense. You don't have to be in the defense all the time. And then this is the famous words of every Christian. I'm waiting on God.
I'm waiting on God.
Yeah, I'm not waiting on the offense. God will always do his part. God's telling me, would you do yours?
Yeah.
God said, I will always do my part, John, but I will never do yours. You got to do your part. We're in partnership. Two hands clapping. We're in covenant with the kingdom. You know, the kingdom suffered violence. The violent take it back by force. We're in covenant. Christians been discipled to say, oh, God paid everything on the cross. He paid for all your sins on the cross, past, present, and future, but you still have to fight. And the closer you want to get to the Lord, the more the bigger the fight. But if you want to be a lukewarm Christian, you want to be one of them, Sunday Christians, a Christian Dior, you want to be a Christian Dior Christian, then the devil, don't worry about the devil. But worry about you not if you're going to make heaven or not. Because the truth be told, God is not part of my life. God is my whole life.
Mm. Yeah. So what are some of these footsteps in people's lives that they don't even realize? And let's talk about how to pivot that and turn into go into the offensive as quickly as possible.
Well, really quick. I mean, one of the footsteps I write in one of the chapters of Faith in Dark Times. That's one of the chapters in the book. And then talk about, I give the analogy of Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps won 28 medals, 23 gold. And before he got to the gold medal part, before he got to the Olympic, his coach was training him to swim in the pool in different aspects, in different conditions, in different opportunities to swim in the pool. Sometimes the coach would turn off the whole lights and let him swim in the dark. Sometimes the coach would put holes in his goggles so his waters will go into his goggles and swim back and forth to understand the pool, to know how to swim in the pool, to know how many laps it takes, how many strokes it takes, how many times it takes to flip on the wall and come back. In Beijing, he threw himself in the water and the goggles got filled with water, but the training kicked in.
Mm.
And then when he took off the goggles, he heard the people cheering, and he was like, he was cheering for the next guy because he couldn't see a thing. When he took the goggle, he broke the world record. Mm. Why? Because he knew how to swim in the dark. He was trained to swim in the dark. And exposing the devil's playbook is teaching you how to swim in the dark. You don't have to see what's going on. You just got to trust God. Swim in the dark. Know the methods of the enemy. Know how to apply your spiritual weapons against those things. So you can kill, steal, destroy whatever the devil has on you. Instead of him using their words on you, use it on him from afar. That's why you have to be a spiritual sniper. They're going to shoot you from close. I'm going to shoot you from 50 yards before you show up to my house. I don't need you to show up at my house, and I don't know if you, overeat. You know, we take care of spiritual business before it shows up at your doorstep. And that's what the book is about. The ingredients of this book is, I mean, the book right now, I think, is best ranked seller. It's like 2,800. It already got close to 30 reviews in 2 weeks. Wow. It's touching people's lives, 5 stars, and people being touched. People have been saying, my God, I never seen it this way. Oh, man, now I understand it. Now I can walk in it. Now I can live in it, and I can finish in it victorious as a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, I never knew that story about Michael Phelps, and that is so powerful to be training yourselves for the worst-case scenarios if things go wrong, but how to take that that situation and turn it around so that it doesn't stop you from doing what God's called you to do. And I know that there's a lot of deception out there right now, and people that are calling good evil and evil good. And you write a whole chapter about the woke church. And I'd like to hear your take on that and what is going on in our culture right now.
Well, the woke church. I mean, look at the practices, look at the satanic practices in the church. Look at the profane practice in the church. No fear of God anymore. They lost the fear of God. You lose the fear of God, you do anything. You don't have a God. You don't have a barometer of direction how to live holy. Look at the practices. Look at churches today doing trick or treat and practicing these demonic holidays. Look, when I was a devil worshiper, you would have never, even if you pay me $1 million, say, "Hey John, I'll give you $1 million, come to church on Good Friday." No way. What a devil worshiper has to do with Good Friday? I hated Good Friday. You know, I didn't want no Good Friday in my life. I didn't care about Good Friday. I didn't care about no cross. I didn't care about no crucifixion. That didn't mean nothing to me. It means the world to me now. It means my life to me now. But back then, you ain't catch no devil worshiper saying, "Oh, I'm here Good Friday. I can't wait till the service starts." No way. Today, we invite the devil into the church, but we don't invite the Holy Spirit anymore. Mm. You know, and the desecration of the church is just crazy. I mean, it is demonic. The woke church, we practice the things of the kingdom of darkness into our church instead of letting the church influence the kingdom of darkness and getting people saved, baptized, deliver, conviction, salvation, the truth. Let the truth set you free. But it is popularity. I want to be famous. What happened to the church, the woke church? We love the things we do, but we don't know what, we don't love who we do it for anymore.
Mm.
That's what I wrote in the book. We love it. We love the things we do because it brings attention to us, but we don't love the person we do it for anymore, which is Jesus Christ.
Wow.
We don't do that anymore.
So the big issues that we have really come to, we don't love Jesus the way that we think we do.
No, we don't. We lost our first love. I mean, one of the churches in Revelation, they lost their first love. And he said, "We rich, we this, we that." Yeah, because you're rich and you got a private jet. Ain't nothing wrong with a private jet. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with a private jet. Ain't nothing wrong with you got a yacht. Nothing wrong with those things. It's how you practice. It's what you do. What's first in your life. I mean, a lot of people in the Bible were rich. Adam was rich. Adam was rich. Abraham was rich. David was rich. Solomon was rich. There's a lot of rich people in the Bible. You know, they weren't broke, but they loved God. They wanted God more than anything in their lives. They didn't flaunt their riches. They didn't put their riches before them. You know, you got these idiots today, call themselves bishops and pastors and whatever. You know, they flaunt stuff. I flaunt the cross. Mm. I flaunt the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm dead to the world and I'm alive in Christ. And this is in the book, Exposing the Devil's Playbook. It teaches you how to live that life, that Christian, the values of Christian life. Because if you can live that life in the book and through the strategies, understanding the methods, the chessboard game of the enemy, how he moves, how he strategizes, how he sets you up, how he try to conquer you, understanding those methods, you understand to the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you have the authority. We're the only religion that has authority over the devil.
Hmm.
Think about it. Christianity is the only religion that has authority. We own the devil.
Yeah.
The devil owns every other religion.
Wow. So John, you've had tremendous experience, or not tremendous, but you've had a lot of experience for those 25 years being on the other side. And you've had a lot of experiences where you were face to face with the devil. Tell me about what that was like and how God rescued you from that.
Well, you know, I mean, that was just, you know, I was a slave master. I was a slave to the enemy's camp for 25 years, lived in fear, because you live in fear. But if you leave, the devil kills you. I mean, look at the life of P. Diddy today, right? The devil don't need him anymore. Look where he's at today. I pray for him. I'm everybody sinned. Everybody falls short. Am I in agreement with the sin of P. Diddy? Am I in agreement, say he deserved what he got? I don't talk that way. You know why? Because we all deserve God's judgment. But look, I pray for his soul to be saved. But look, the devil don't need him anymore. The devil's done with him. The contract that he had between the devil, it's over. There's no new contract. The devil got what he wanted. He won the game. He ain't going to renew no contract with P. Diddy. He's done. He needs Jesus. He needs to be saved. He needs the Holy Spirit to go into that jail cell and introduce the gospel to him. That's all I have to say about that. But 25 years, died, 1999, went to hell, met Jesus, met the devil. To just paraphrase it, the Lord put me back into my body. I became a believer in 1999. I've been walking with the Lord for 24 years of my life.
Wow.
Through trials, tribulations, testings, trauma, witchcraft, to the highest point of witchcraft done to me still, but I'm still here because greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. Because one of the things I wrote in one of the chapters in the book, Exposing the Devil, this is when the Christians crumble. In the greatest war, I said the greatest war, that chapter talks about, you talk about Exodus 7 and 8, how Moses show up, Aaron show up, God shows up, Pharaoh's there, his two magicians, and the devil. They show up in this schoolyard fight. Just paraphrase it. It's a schoolyard fight. Mm-hmm. You know, you got 80, 81-year-old. you got God with them. You got Pharaoh. You got the two witches. They show up. Now, they go back and forth doing. He dropped the staff. They do the same thing. Touches the water. They do the same thing. This is when the Christians go into their spiritual endurance kind of warfare. They see that God wins one round, the devil wins another, Christians crumble, faith crumble, unbelief kicks in, doubt kicks in, fear kicks in, the devil got you. Because in the fourth round of the fight, God tells Moses, strike the dust of the earth. And then when he strikes it, it turns into gnats. How you put a DNA and antennas and eyes on dirt? Only God can do that. And God showed off. But God knows how to draw the line and let the devil go so far. But Christians fall in the middle of the battle and they get conquered. They become victim. They become incarcerated spiritually. And this book teaches you how not to be that victim, but to be victorious. Yeah. When the long fight, because people think, I pray, I fasted, I skip McDonald's, and I'm going to get my victory. I had no chicken McNuggets today. God's going to show up. What about if God said, I'll show up in 6 months? And you're in that fight for 6 months, or you're in that fight for 1 year, and you're praying and fasting, and you don't hear nothing from heaven. What do? I teach you, Exposing the Devil's Playbook, how to stand and don't move from the place that God put you in, and you will have the victory. But don't let the devil push you back and lose your spot.
Amen. Amen. Don't let the devil push you back and lose your spot. Stand for victory.
Stand for victory. Stand. Yeah, the devil might push you, but he don't move you.
Yeah.
The winds come, but you're still standing. The hurricane shows up, but your house, you might lose a little window, you might lose a little, you know, side panel, but you're still standing. The foundation of who you are in Christ is standing. And in the end, you will have the last laugh, not the devil.
Amen. Amen. I want to encourage everybody to get a hold of the book, Exposing the Devil's Playbook. It's really going to help you in your walk with the Lord, in your fight with the devil, so that you will be victorious. Now, John, I have a question for you. I recently just saw this post on Twitter, on X, and it was a post from a witches group on Reddit. Somebody took a screenshot of it, and I'm just going to read part of this. So it says, some other witches have mentioned that doing spells directly against Trump are not as effective as we might hope, as he seems to have some kind of protection around him. A freezer spell against Project 2025 would likely be useful, but I wouldn't give the Cheeto, or referring to Donald Trump, any more attention right now. He hates to be ignored, right? And then it says a lot of people are taking the opportunity to do protection and uplifting kinds of spells to help Kamala and the Democrats rather than attacking the other side. And then it actually gives a link for people to then go and try that, directions for that. John, it says that there was
some sort of... You should click on that link and tell them to come on your show, not come on your show.
I would love to arrange that meeting, but I don't have the link there.
One day.
Picture of it. Yeah. But, you know, so this was from, you know, like 90 days ago that this was posted. So this was a couple months ago. And so a couple months ago, Donald Trump was actually, there was an assassination attempt of against his life in July. And, but I find it very interesting that it says that he seems to have some kind of protection around him. Can you talk about the prayers of the saints and the protection that that brings?
Yeah, well, you know, I belong to a group called, it's amazing. I'm on it now until when I get back in January. But I belong to a group, it's called Battle Cry. And people from all over the world is praying for Trump. We're not praying for Trump because, you know, we worship man. We pray for him because God allow us to pray for him. And we pray for Kamala. We pray for the other people on the other side for salvation, healing, and deliverance, right? Because we, I was ignorant for 25 years, right? And God saved me, so they deserve salvation too. So, but the key of praying for Trump, I pray for Trump every other day because I understand God's plan and purpose for the earth. And God wants to use this man as a vessel of honor to bring back the morality, to bring back truth, to bring back the Bible, to bring back the Word of God, to bring back the correction that needs to be corrected, to bring back grace, to bring peace to Israel. I love Israel. I stand with Israel. I pray for the people in Palestine. I pray for the Middle East. But I'm not into that whole Palestinian thing that they're doing out there and NYU and these other places. Yeah. That to me is trash. Understand? I stand for Israel. I pray for the Israel. That's what the Bible says to do. So I'm doing that. So when I pray for Trump and we praying for Trump, we praying for a man that God ordained, God selected. How Christians hate him. How Christians love Kamala. When Kamala stands for abortion, homosexuality, God's going to hold you accountable for that. Mm-hmm. When they stand for Antichrist, the other day I saw a video that someone said something about Jesus in one of the Kamala's rallies. She said, "You're in the wrong rally." And you Christian, you stand for that? You're not a Christian. You're Christian Dior, but you're not a Christian. Because Christians stand for the values of what the Bible stands for. I don't care if Ricky Martin wants to be president. I'm Puerto Rican, and Ricky's Puerto Rican. And Ricky's a good-looking Puerto Rican, but he's homosexual. I won't stand with him. I won't vote for Ricky. I don't care if he just said he could be the first Puerto Rican president ever. Not on my watch. I love him as a person, but I'm not into his lifestyle. And I can say that because my brother was a transvestite. My brother was homosexual, bisexual, witch doctor, and married to a regular woman. And my brother, a year before he died, he got saved. He got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. He got baptized. He became to the Lord. He went to church, and he died in his sleep a week before his birthday. He's 44. He's going to be 45 years old. He went home with the Lord. So I tell you the truth. I pray for Trump. I pray Psalms 91 over Trump. Psalms 91 protection. I pray 27. Psalms 27 over Trump. I pray Psalms 23. I pray Zechariah chapter 2, 5, a wall of fire, the same wall he put on Job. Put on Donald Trump in the name of, I will vote for Trump again. I will stand for the truth of Jesus Christ, and I will stand for the kingdom that God, it will always, the kingdom of God will always reign here on the earth and in heaven. Just because it's legal here, it's not legal in heaven. And the last thing I say, the reason they can't touch Trump, because you can't penetrate the blood.
Yeah. So it's not just President Trump that is covered by the blood, obviously. I mean, I know you've told me in the past that whenever you have had, you've astral projected and you couldn't go to certain areas because
curse. I can, that would happen only once in my life in 25 years. I couldn't curse that neighborhood of that region because there was Christians. Not only they were covered by the blood, but didn't know how to pray spiritual warfare. And they chased me out of the region in the spirit. And it chased me out, and I was never to put witchcraft on that region because you have believers that were armed and dangerous. They knew how to play, and they knew spiritual warfare, and they knew how to put the devil in his place and keep him out of the region. I was frustrated. I was angry that night, and it happened, I think, once or twice that I can remember, and I couldn't touch that neighborhood because there was Christians that knew how to stand on the wall, and there were watchmen on the wall.
Yeah, so if you want to frustrate the devil, frustrate Satanists, frustrate the darkness, you need to expose the devil's playbook and get the book, Exposing the Devil's
Playbook. Amen. And for your life, for your purpose, your own destiny, for your own, I mean, the closer you get to God, the more the attacks going to be. People think the closer to God, you're going to live in peaches, cream, and ice cream sundae. No, the closer I get to God, the more the attacks going to come. But that don't mean nothing to me because it's who lives in me, and no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And if I call on his name, he will will do great and mighty things, but I have to live a genuine life for the Lord. But I have to, I live by this book. I live by this, I live by here. I live here. My first number one book to me is the Bible, the Word. But this book here and there's other spiritual warfare books that God put out there that help equip the saints to fight the good fight. We have people in Charisma that, you know, Pagani, who we have, Isaiah. We got Catherine Crick there. You know, these people have been equipped by God to teach. And they never lived in the kingdom of darkness. Mm-hmm. They never lived like I did. But they've been, God had given them the revelation of spiritual warfare upon their life to fight, Amen. To teach the saints, right? Because in the end time, I tell you right now, the last thing I said, and I'll finish with this. The only thing that's going to be standing in the end time is going to be spiritual warfare and the prophetic. The true prophetic, not these clowns that we got, you know, I know your social security number and all that stuff. That's witchcraft. I'm talking about the true prophetic. David Wilkerson was my spiritual father. He wrote a book, The Vision, 73, and everything he wrote is out here today. So to me, that's a prophetic person. But the true prophetic and the spiritual warfare, because in the end, we have to fight the good fight of faith. Paul said it, 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, his last will testament, he said it. In the end, he said, Timothy, I'm going home. I fought a good fight. He said, I took it easy. I bought me a lazy boy. No, I was in a nursing home. I had chocolate. I had cocoa. No, he fought a good fight. Paul had an awesome resume. Amen? He fought a good fight. You fight the good fight. I fight the good fight. And we fight, be equipped, and be discipled. Don't go by secondary stuff other people say. Train yourself. Bible says, train yourself and be equipped. As a vessel of honor, as an arrow in God's quiver.